We have been getting our regular doctor on the show with us for the last couple of weeks, Dr. Michael Clements from Fairfield Central, to answer your questions because, you know, there's a lot of curly questions out there that it's really hard to find the info sometimes. So we have him on the line with us right now yet again this week. Welcome, Dr. Clements.
Good morning.
A lot of people have a family GP. We have a show GP,
yeah.
Dr. Clements. quickly, before we get into listener questions, telehealth. This is a thing that's going to start as of pretty much now, where people can get consults with their GP over the phone. Tell us how that's going to work.
Yeah, it's a remarkable change in the way that you're going to deal with your GP. So I guess the starting principle is that we're trying to minimise the number of times people have to leave their house, particularly the old and vulnerable. And so from yesterday, your GP is able to provide the full breadth of chronic disease, mental health consultations, and even things like repeat scripts and referrals, all from the comfort of your own home.
So how does that work when you can't see the symptoms firsthand?
Yeah, it's really important to understand that the telehealth isn't going to work for everything.
Right.
So sometimes your GP will talk to you over the phone, and for some conditions, in particular mental health, that'll be just fine. For other conditions, they may want to use a video service, and there's actually been an explosion in the number of apps out there that doctors can use, so we can actually do a video call. But what will happen is that after a telephone consult, we've been doing that in our own practice for the last few weeks now, we'll decide that actually we do want to see them face-to-face, but when we bring them into the waiting room, now that waiting room is a lot emptier, you know, the seats are spaced out, we see them one at a time, and so we're actually minimising the risk by doing that.
Hmm. Fantastic.
Yeah, great.
Okay, let's get into listener questions. First question for you this week, Dr. Clements, is from Jason.
Realistically, when can we expect a vaccine to be available?
So when can we expect a coronavirus vaccine?
Well, that's really going to be the game changer for us. That's what we're all waiting for. I don't think we're going to find a cure because we still haven't really found out the viruses. So the best guess at the moment is 12 to 18 months. Remember, even if the scientists do find what they think works next week, we're going to be rolling this out against millions of people. So we've got to make darn sure that it's not going to create any side effects that we don't want. So we're looking at least 12 to 18 months.
Wow. Okay. I thought it was going to be a little sooner, but makes sense. This next question is from Lisa.
If you've got a cold or flu or any other type of virus, does that make you more susceptible to catching coronavirus?
Yeah, there's a little bit of debate about if you've already got something like influenza or a normal cough and cold, is that an opening for the coronavirus to come in? I think the answer is no. It's probably not going to make you more vulnerable. But the problem is we're not going to know which kind of virus it is that you've got. So that's why we're still promoting influenza vaccines and pneumococcal vaccines. And we're getting everybody with any normal cough and cold to keep their germs to themselves. Because we don't want them mixed up. I think that's probably the easiest way of describing it.
It doesn't make your immune system weaker?
No, it's interesting. It's a little bit of a myth. You know, there's things like fever making mucus is actually an immune response. So when you get a fever, that's actually showing a sign that your body's got a very strong immune response, raising up the temperature, trying to kill whatever's there.
Is this year's flu vaccine available yet in Townsville?
They're starting to trickle through. So every year there's a little bit of a dance between the general practices and the government when they're supplying it. So, for example, we haven't actually even received our first stock yet, but some practices have. The private pharmacies have had some stock, but they're running out quickly. Okay. So it's important that everybody gets it, but it doesn't matter if it's going to take a little while. So if it takes a month before you get your flu vax, don't panic, but still plan ahead.
Final question this week for Dr. Clements is from Paul. This is listener Paul.
People are making and selling cotton face masks. Do they actually do anything?
Yeah, it's a really difficult question to answer because the World Health Organization has come out saying they do not recommend cloth masks. Mm. The main reason is that after an hour of wearing a cloth mask, it's already filled up with humidity from your mouth and your nose, and it's just going to be, if there's virus there, it's just going to be viral-laden mask. And so if you accidentally touch it or wipe it or bump it, you're actually going to be carrying around more dangerous stuff around your face than if you weren't wearing a cloth mask at all. So we don't recommend the general public wear any kind of mask when they're doing their normal business. But if you do have to be out of the house and you do have a cough, cold or COVID, then wearing a mask or a paper mask that you can swap every hour when it gets wet is the ideal outcome.
Oh, wow, that's interesting.
Viral-laden mask.
Yummy.
Three words that should never go together.
Ugh.
Dr. Michael Clements, he's a local GP and obviously knows his stuff when it comes to COVID-19. Thank you so much for answering our questions again this week, and we'll catch up next Tuesday. Dr. Clements.
Sounds good.